This is one of those feasts that is easy for us to misunderstand, most commonly to just sort of set it aside. Right? This is it's good for Jesus. He's gone back to heaven. He's with his Father. It's all good. And now we're kind of waiting for the stuff that matters to us when we get to Pentecost next week. But that is to misunderstand what the ascension is. There's so many significant points to what's in the gospel that's given today and really all of the readings. One detail that we may miss is that Jesus leads them out as far as Bethany. The hill that Bethany is on is the hill or mountainside that when God left the temple before the Babylonian exile, when he left the temple because it had essentially been desecrated, left the glory of God in this cloud, the Shekinah, departed over that same hill. And so it's significant that when Jesus returns to the city of Jerusalem to be crucified, that's the hill he comes down. And it's also significant that this is the place that he ascends from. But it's significant because it is not the same as when he left before. Instead of being a moment of separation, God leaving because his people had rejected him, this is a place of triumph, not just for Jesus, but for us, for his people. Because there was grief when the glory of God departed as a cloud from the temple. We are separated from God. But here, Jesus is taking our humanity with him. He is ultimately freeing it from the bonds that it has been subjected to, as the letter to the Hebrews says, from the foundation of the world. This may seem very theologically abstract and remote to us, so let's look at it a different way. What do we long for? What are the longings that drive us? And we can see it in the things that we love, no doubt, but we can also see it in the stuff that we're afraid of, the things that we get angry about, and the sins that we commit. What do we long for? St. Thomas Aquinas kind of grouped sins together into four kind of main motivations or things that we're seeking. We're seeking wealth, pleasure, power, and honor. If you're looking for motives for your sins, start with those four, and in all likelihood, you will find one or a couple of them represented in the choices that we make when we sin. And these things aren't bad in themselves. Wealth allows us to live, to care for ourselves, our family, and for the poor. Pleasure is good. God made the good and beautiful things of this world to be enjoyed, set Adam and Eve in a paradise to begin with. Power. We need power to subdue and steward the earth, the nations as the Lord intended for Adam and Eve. And honor. There's dignity in having a good name. The problem comes when we try and recreate paradise all on our own. And so as we think about what are our longings, keep in mind, ultimately what we're longing for is God himself in the kingdom of heaven. And when we seek wealth, pleasure, power, and or honor in some way that is out of order, however awful it might end up looking, in some confused way, we are looking for the kingdom of heaven. Which means that in that we can find a way back to God. because God has taken in the ascension all of those longings to that heavenly kingdom. Christ is our head. We are joined to him as his body. He's not decapitated the body for a temporary time until he comes again. In a very real way, our humanity is lifted to the glory of heaven. And the longings that we experience are us waiting for the time that that is brought to full completion. But the good news is that we don't just have to wait for heaven. Jesus remains, God remains with his people. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And so they did Jesus homage, and then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. Right? They're not in the upper room locked in there for fear. They are in the temple for joy, because they understand that Jesus has not left them or abandoned them. They understand what's said in the end of our letter to the Hebrews. Let us hold unwaveringly to our confession that gives us hope, for he who made the promise is trustworthy. They are convinced of the trustworthiness of Jesus. And so they know that in him ascending, he hasn't abandoned them. So what does this mean for us? So first, it's always good for us to be aware of our sins, but even more aware of our motivations. What are we seeking? Wealth, pleasure, power, honor. So often what we seek, the ways we seek them, are sinful. And so we must ask the Lord, how do I seek them rightly? Where can you come into my heart so that I'm not seeking the stuff that doesn't actually satisfy me, the stuff that is totally consigned to this world? But of course, there's more than just avoiding sin. There is this experience of being united to Jesus. And so this is where we have to be careful, because we do hear that the apostles ask that question as they're gathered in this place. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They know this is a moment of fulfillment, but they still don't quite get what that fulfillment means. And so we can do the same thing. We may not sin. We may set aside the habits of mortal sin that defined us in our past, but we may still have obstacles where we kind of are stuck in our own way or vision for what will make us happy. It's my health. It's my family. It's my job. Things must stay the way that they are. They must unfold the way that makes sense to me. I need to see really clearly your kingdom, Lord, taking shape. But Jesus doesn't entertain that with the apostles, or with us, really, because he desires to give us more. And so he tells them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. And that is beautiful, because it's the Father's authority. When we see the world around us and we see the forces of evil that are at work, we can be tempted to think that God isn't in control. We may not say it that way in our head, but that's the way we act. But the times and seasons are established by the Father in his own authority. Nothing is outside of his power. And so Jesus sends the apostles to wait. And he sends us to wait. And to wait in that longing, and in that joy. We experience good things, and God gives us good things that are tastes of heaven. If we remember that they're tastes of heaven, there is nothing wrong with enjoying them, rejoicing, because in some way, we get a glimpse of what God desires to be totally ours in heaven. And finally, and most mysteriously, in those moments where everything is taken away, where we get that final diagnosis, when we say goodbye to somebody at a graveside, when a child goes off to college, when a job ends, when we find ourselves utterly alone and rejected, our humanity is still in heaven. We are still united to Jesus, who united himself to us. And so we understand the secret of the saints, who could be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth, in concentration camps and torture rooms, in sick bays and in sick beds, that they experienced joy. Not because they were masochists or because they were Pollyanna-ish and just believed everything would get better. In a real way, by letting go of their vision of the kingdom of God, they experienced the union that Jesus makes possible through today's feast. In a mysterious way, they are caught up with the head. So this feast should be a little mysterious, a little confusing for us, because it's not something that we see with our eyes. But of course, we know Jesus gives us the Eucharist himself, that it is a taste of heaven. Even as he ascends, he chooses to remain. So as we come to Jesus in the Eucharist today, can we bring the longings that are there in our heart that at times have motivated us to try and establish the kingdom of God through sin at its worst, or by holding on to our own plans, and to set that aside, and to confront the longing, not as something to be feared, but as something to be welcomed that unites us to Jesus, who has not abandoned us, but who desires to draw us up into the kingdom of heaven, where he is with his Father and longs for us to be also. As we receive him, may we receive him into that space of longing and allow ourselves to experience him as the one who fulfills it.